In the case of Khalil Mack, this guy, and God may strike me dead for this, is the equal of Dick Butkus.
Oh, wow.
He's that good.
Says a lot.
Significantly better than Brian Urlacher.
Yeah?
Urlacher was a great side-to-side.
Yeah.
Sideline-to-sideline linebacker. But you could beat him if you ran straight at him. In the case of Mack, this guy right now is inch for inch, pound for pound, the most devastating football player in the NFL.
Chet Kopic with Bill and Wendy. 65 consecutive Bears home openers from the time he was 5 years old.
I think the Bears put out a number yesterday. I think it was a little, like 68.
He probably didn't remember when he was two.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, he used to tell me it was five. Before we get to our guest, a brush with Chet. This is from the 608. Several years ago, I'm walking in a stoplight at Michigan and Ontario. Big guy next to me in a full-length fur coat. I said hello, recognized him, and thanked him as I'd won a prize on his show. He drops into full Chet mode. Told me he was going to Lowry's for dinner and to knock down some prime rib and drambuie.
Is drambuie still a thing?
I don't even know.
It always was,
but
though.
That is Chet. Ladies and gentlemen, David Kaplan. Good morning, Cap.
That's right. Get the prime rib, a spinning salad bowl, and wash it down with some drambuie.
Get yourself some drambuie. You know, and I like knock it down. Got to knock it down. Listen, nice to have you back on the show. Sorry about the circumstances, but you and Chet had a very interesting relationship, and I know you loved him. What do you want to say?
I did, because I would not be doing this phone call, would not have become so close to you guys and have worked at that great radio station for almost 22 years without him mentoring me and giving me opportunities when I hadn't earned the opportunities, because I was, you know, an inexperienced guy who'd never taken a broadcasting class. He saw something in me. He gave me opportunities on my coaching days in college basketball, and it led to what I'm doing for my career. But we also had an interesting relationship, because I can't tell you how many times I would see him at the East Bank Club, and he would go, "Hey, how come I can't get on your show?" And I said, "Because both places I'm now working fired you." And my bosses said no, and he wouldn't accept that. And so I, you know, went to the late Jim Cornell, "Can I get Chet on?" And we finally were able to have him on a handful of times. And he actually filled in for me when I was on vacation last July at radio. My bosses were so great to him on that. But, you know, he would always ask me. Just 3 weeks ago, I saw him, and he goes, "Can't get on the damn show, huh?" And I had said to our booking producer, Danny Wysocki, last week, "Do me a favor, please. I want to have Chet on again. He's got another book out. We're coming out on Dennis McKinnon. He's working on one with Tom Lemming. Can we get him on, please?" She's like, "All right, I'll work it out." And then we got the horrible news. So, yes, there would be days, I will tell you, and I know Dave knows this, I'd look at Twitter and go, "Why is Chet blasting me on Twitter? That was at my wedding." And then I'd see each other and we'd hug.
Chet went through a period from being the guy in town to being a guy that used to be in town to being very angry. He went through a period of being very angry at a lot of people. But the thing that really is sad to me, Cap, is in the last few years, he really seemed to be comfortable in his own skin. And writing these books was very therapeutic for him. And he seemed to be finally getting comfortable with being Chet at this point in his life. So that makes the whole thing more sad for me. You know, his daughter got married a month ago. He had a lot of life left to live.
He did. And I would tell you, there are two people that deserve a ton of credit. They may not yell it from the mountaintops, but people should. Is John McDonough and Jay Blunk. Mm-hmm. Those two guys gave him opportunities when a lot of the broadcast medium and others had turned their back on him.
1,000%.
And he worked for the Hawks. He would MC events. He would be at this and be at that, and voice over this and that. And those guys should have a smile on their face today knowing what they did was just phenomenal.
McDonough will join us later as well. Are you going to focus on this on your shows?
Yeah, we did a whole, Pat Boyle and I did a lengthy show yesterday morning about Chet, and we had Gene Greco on, Steve Dahl. I know you had Steve as well.
Well, Steve and I are very close, as you know.
Steve, when we had Steve Dahl on, Steve Cochran said to him, "I'm a big subscriber."
I just think Chet would have found it. I just think Chet would have found it hysterical that he's the reason Dahl ends up on my show. Yeah. But Steve Dahl said some wonderful things about him. Obviously,
he did, and I said to Steve, You still out at the White Sox games in your fancy scout seats? And he listened, laughed at the answer, and said, no, Daddy lost his high-paying radio gig. No, he doesn't have the seats anymore.
The self-deprecating Steve is a charming guy. Listen, I'm sorry for your loss. You certainly knew Chet much better than I did, but we all became friends. And as I said, I'm glad he had some time at the unfortunate last few years of his life, but I'm glad he had some time in those years to feel pretty good about things, because I really think he did.
Yeah, and he goes down as a legend. He does. I mean, whether he was, you know, close to you, whether he wasn't close to you, whether he was mad at you, whether he loved you. I got a text yesterday from the great football scout Tom Lemming, who was doing a book with Chet. And, you know, I told you 2 or 3 weeks ago, he's yelling at me at the East Bank, get me on the show.
Right.
Don't forget me. And Tom said, hey, I just want you to know last week your name came up and Chet said how much he loved you. And I went to bed last night. I said to my wife, wow, I got two different texts from two different people that said that Chet had said something like that. And that gives me great comfort that while he's gone, I know that our relationship was in a good place.
Yeah, totally agree.
I think he was very proud of you, Cap, and we mentioned this. We were talking with John Williams yesterday that I became aware of David Kaplan from his appearances with Chet when Cap was doing the Windy City Roundball Review. I didn't know Dave.
Yeah, he was a basketball coach.
We ended up working together for over 20 years, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I remember when you were still doing the magazine or the newsletter. You came in, I was the assistant program director at WGN, and you came in and met with me here. Because you were looking to branch out in broadcast media at that point.
Seems like 10 minutes ago.
That was almost 30 years ago.
Yeah. Isn't that
insane
crazy?
Yeah.
Where it is.
In other words, I love you, buddy, but you're old.
Yeah, we're both old.
No question about it.
Listen, David Kaplan, ESPN Radio, and also, of course, NBC Sportsnet Chicago, and, everywhere. You can tell because he wears fancy colored coats.
And he's a social media superstar.
Yeah, yes. Yep.
Does he ever have you on his show?
Yeah, when are you going to have me on your show?
You tell me when you want to come on and you're in.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right. I love you guys.
Love you back. See you later. That's the great David Kaplan. Sad news. Chet Kopic was killed in a car accident. Look, we've all known Chet a long time, but maybe nobody's known him longer than Steve Dahl, who joins us now.
One afternoon, Gary and I are on the air. I get a call on the hotline, and it's Chet. He goes, Dahlster. I'm like, yeah, Chet, what's up? There's a shake at the stick. I've got to go live. And I'm like, what? And it was the earthquake in San Francisco during the World Series.
A shake at the stick.
1989.
Wow.
It's a shake at the stick. I've got to go live.
Nobody should pass at 70, but he had an amazing life, and there's no way you can talk about sports in this town and the coverage of sports without talking about Chet Kopic.
And I need to just say one more time, he invented sports talk radio mm-hmm. and never mm-hmm. gets credit for it.
Steve Dahl on the show yesterday, the president of broadcast media for Tribune Media, Larry Wirt, is going to join us now. Larry was my boss. Larry was Dahl's boss. I think Chet would find it delightful that he brought Steve Dahl and I together.
I don't know if it's in his top 10 achievements, but I think he would have it on his list.
Yes. Larry, you knew Chet for a very long time. Many of the stories about Chet you couldn't tell on the air. Tell me when you can.
Well, you know, the one I just listened to Steve tell, it was actually my first week running the Loop AM and FM, and I was in my office kind of late, and Chet stuck that big blonde fluffy head of hair into my office, and he said, hey, boss, shake at the stick. Should I go live? And I had no idea what he was talking about, but he saw that opportunity. He worked all runways, right? He hit Steve. He hit me. This guy was just a Hall of Fame character, but certainly a passionate broadcaster, for sure.
Have you ever seen anyone, because I don't know that I have, you ever seen anyone who enjoyed it as much as Chet did? Because I don't know that I have.
No, he was really into it. And, there was a transition on the Loop every night at 7 o'clock from Steve and Gary to Chet. It's probably my most memorable interaction on an almost daily basis. Steve refused to get off the air because he knew that it frustrated Chet if he would be late, right? So this became programming, right? And Chet, of course, would come into my office. Wordster, he's doing it again. Boss, we can't let this happen. I got Lasorda on deck. So that would happen almost every night for at least 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And it really angered Chet.
Larry, did you have to kind of learn to speak Chet when he was working for you?
You did. You do. You start doing it, right? It's almost like when you go to France and you start picking up an accent.
Sure.
It doesn't really mean much, but you're right.
that was part of the drill. I told Chet a couple of years ago, you need a Rosetta Stone of Chet Coptic speak. You know, he would have killed it. He would have sold it all over here. He went from being the guy in town to being a guy who was bitter because he wasn't the guy in town to a guy who I felt like really hit his groove again with writing these books. Did you get that sense?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, look, I think I agree with Steve. He never really got his due credit. I mean, the Score radio station was launched in the early 90s. And, you know, quite frankly, some of the young producer, sportscaster, gold, you know, people that came from Chet's kind of nest, you know, helped launch that station. And, some of them were quite frankly not respectful to what, you know,
right.
Who pioneered it. And, you know, I always kind of stuck by that and respect what came before you and then cut your own turf. I agree with Steve. Chet never got full credit for what he pioneered in that way, but he did. I think he saw sports radio and sports talk, and like, look, ESPN wasn't even rolling yet, right? When he was doing what he was doing,
sure.
I think it's fair to say he became a little bit bitter that he didn't, you know, roll with all of that momentum as much as he maybe thought he could have and should have.
Yeah, but you know, the cool thing is he pulled out of it. You know, he had his moment in his early books a few years ago. He was still ripping people. But somewhere along the line, and I don't know if it was his fiance or, you know, changing your life or getting older and all that. But, yeah, I just feel good about the fact that even though he got robbed of a lot of years here, he seemed like he was in a good place.
Yeah, I think he was. I gave him some advice once. We were talking about what he could do next. And he really wanted to get back on television. He wanted to vindicate and get back on Channel 5. I eventually left the loop and got that job. And, you know, look, we moved a different direction, and we used to talk about it. But, you know, look, I gave him advice once. I said, you know what, Chet, you know what? You're so bad at picking games against the spread. but think about this. You're so consistently bad that you could probably make a living off it. Right? I mean, it really doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. As long as you pick you consistently one side of a...
Well, that's it. You know, it's like short-selling stocks, all right? I mean, he could eventually...
That's exactly right.
Yeah, he could eventually do it. And with gambling about to break the way it is in this country, that could have been a whole new road for Chet.
That's what I thought.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
You know, you asked a question about what stories can't you tell. Well, you know, Chet used to do outtakes with Matt Bisbee, who was one of the genius...
one of the best
contributors,
ever.
Right? And they would do promos together back in the production room. And they just would come out of there, everyone in tears laughing, because Chet would as great as he was, you know, on the air with his style and voice and phonetics. During promos, he had Tourette's. He had continual Tourette's, and you know, it was stuff you could never air. But they'd come in, show me out, listen, you know, let me listen to outtakes almost every day, and they were phenomenally fun.
Well, whenever the family decides on a public service, I hope it's the party that he deserves, and I'm sure it will be.
Yeah, he's looking down with joy. Everyone talking about him for sure. And listen, what a great character! He contributed so much to the radio landscape, to the just the broadcasting landscape, and just he did it his way, right? And,
no question.
Just sad we lost him soon, and but I think of him with you know, admiration, and I generally have a smile on my face whenever I would bump into him.
I totally agree. Yep, it's Larry Wirt. He runs his company, and Larry, as always, thanks for letting me work here.
Thanks, Steve.
Yep, that's the boss.
Yes.
Yeah. I love the notion of Chet doing outtakes, because you could hear him in your head, couldn't you?
No question about it. You know what I, and I said this to John Williams yesterday, even though we're remembering his radio career, mm-hmm. I really believe that the Chet was a TV guy, and he was doing TV on radio, mm-hmm. but his personality lent itself to television. When he was on Channel 5, you weren't in town.
No, yet. But I knew of him, sure.
He was
a national figure.
Yeah, I think that was his bread and butter. I mean, yeah, I think totally he was terrific. And you had him and Gene Greco with him over there, and you had Johnny Morris at Channel 2 and Tim Weigel.
And he finally came around to realizing he had burned most of his bridges, because for years, you'll remember, he was angry. Mm-hmm. But I remember maybe a year ago being at a Blackhawks game with him. And he was very self-deprecating and talking about how, you know, we're talking about old jobs, and he goes, this job and that job. Yeah, and here's how I ruined that one, and here's how I ruined this one. So, I mean, there was a clarity, you know, and maybe we all should get more of that.
Yeah. Well, the mornings he came in with us, Steve, a couple of times.
Yeah.
The last few years, he seemed at peace.
I'm going to name the sport. You tell me the best you ever saw in that sport.
Okay.
Basketball.
Two, Michael Jordan and Will Chamberlain.
Baseball.
Either Willie Mays or Mickey Mantle.
Football.
Either Gale Sayers, Dick Butkus, or Lawrence Taylor.
Hockey.
Boy, I got to be sympathetic because I love the guy, and we did a banquet together at the UC in front of a Hawks game the other night. Bobby Hull.
It's a lightning round of Jeopardy when you're talking sports with Chet Coppig. John McDonough, the boss of the Blackhawks, joins us now, and as anybody pays any attention to sports in this town, you know that for years and years and years, executive with your Chicago Cubs. And John, condolences to you. It's a loss for all of us, but it's personal to you.
Yeah, good morning, Steve. Thank you. It's devastating. Last night was a bouncy night, and yesterday was a tough day. Very, very sad.
The family, we really hurt for the family. You know, his daughter just got married and all the things that they're obviously going through. But we're lucky enough to have some really great memories and some funny stories with Chet. And I mentioned this earlier to Larry Wirt. Whenever the public memorial comes, I hope it's a party, because that's what Chet would want.
Well, he was an entertainer. He was authentic. We've never seen anybody like him. You either loved him or you didn't. He was very endearing. But it was, you know, interactions with him would be unique. You know, he would come into my office with his briefcase, and the briefcase did not have documents. It was loaded with Diet Cokes. And he'd open the briefcase, and then he would go into a Marlon Brando impression, and he would put his hand out with the pinky ring, and he'd go, Godfather. And, you know, we had so much fun. And, you know, he had a TV show in the 80s or the 90s called The Back Table.
Yep.
And I don't really remember what network it was on. But
wasn't it MSG, the early form of MSG, wasn't it one of those deals?
Yeah, it might have been. But I was on it a couple times, and I really don't know why. But it would be hard for me to keep a straight face recognizing that whatever question Chet was asking me, he was not paying any attention to the answer. And Steve and Dave knows this. When Chet would go, uh-huh,
yep,
that was code for, I'm not listening.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Or if he would have you on the radio, you could actually hear the pages of the newspaper turning while you're talking to him.
Right. And also, and anybody that's ever done what I do, you know there's a timing, there's a rhythm to interviews. And if you're good at it, You could time out the question that you sort of know what the answer might be, and you know the length of the answer, and you could do your taxes for some people, depending on how they answer the question. Chet would eat during the show. And Chet's biggest nightmare was whoever he thought would do a long answer would come up with a short answer, because then there'd be food falling out of his mouth for the next question.
Yeah.
And he might have been the greatest embellisher of all time.
Oh,
he would introduce you on the air or at a banquet, and about 90% of the things that he was saying about you was not true. It was so embellished, and by the time you got up there, there's nothing that you could say that would ever match the buildup you just received.
Amen to that.
John, I know that Chet emceed a lot of corporate events for the Blackhawks. I followed him a few times moderating panels at the Blackhawks convention. But I think most of our listeners probably know him from having watched him on TV or hearing him on the radio. Describe what it was like to watch Chet work a room at, say, one of these corporate events.
Unmatched, because it was a natural, it was a reservoir of charisma. It was just who he was. He had a unique personality. He loved attention. I think he loved to be noticed. And, you know, with the fur coat and the glasses and everything you've heard from everybody else, he told me the same thing about, you know, wave to a section.
Right.
But yeah, he was a great salesman. He was a great showman. You know, one of the more interesting challenges I had, he was doing both pre, post, and halftime in the 90s during the Bulls' big run. Mm-hmm. And I was at a Bulls game sitting on the floor with a friend of mine who drove me to the game. And in the first half, I had two or three beers, nothing to eat. And I'm walking over to the scorer's table to say hello to some of my friends in the media. And he grabs me. Now, I've got a little buzz going, maybe a little more than a little buzz. And he says to me, "We'll talk live with Cubs Vice President Bon Vivant, John McDonough." Now, I'm praying. I go to this sober place for about 2 minutes. He goes to commercial, and it was fine. He goes to commercial, and I said, "Chet, don't ever do that again."
Right. To echo the point you just made, I've never, and I mean, I'm talking about A-list Hollywood celebrities, all the way to some chucklehead who thinks he's famous and he's not. I have never seen a celebrity enjoy being a celebrity more than Chet Kopech did.
Perfectly stated, Steve. He absolutely craved attention. He was the best. He was a little Barnum and Bailey. He loved it, and the spot, he was born to be in the spotlight, and it was original material. You know, the United Center was not the United, it was a big bar. Wrigley Field was Cubs Park. Guaranteed Rate Field was Sox Park. Everything, he had his own brand, his own label for everything, something no one else had before.
Here's a story from one of the, you know, we're doing brushes with Chet this morning with the listeners. It's a story from the 815. It said, "We spent Thanksgiving at Eagle Ridge in Galena, and Chet and some family members walked into the Sunday brunch at the lodge with our family, and my young daughter was mesmerized by the fur coat and wanted to pet it. He found that hilarious. He came over to our table, let my young daughter pet the coat, and kept coming back to talk to us while we were having brunch." I mean, that's Chet. That's Chet. You know, you and Jay Blunk probably knew Chet better than anybody in this town, professionally and personally. I had such a great relationship with him as well. And maybe I keep bringing this up to everybody because I want to feel better about how this ended, because he got cheated, and he got cheated, and the rest of us got cheated. 70's way too young, and it's very sad that he's gone. But I really felt like, and obviously correct me if I'm wrong, I really felt like the last few years were maybe as comfortable as he's ever been. There's a story in the Daily Herald that talks about how rough his dad was on him and how he didn't have an easy upbringing. And, you know, maybe you could psychoanalyze that and determine that's why he got into show business. But whatever the case may be, with the books and what he did for the Blackhawks, the last few years, I just felt like he was in a good place.
You know, he talked about his dad to me quite often. Jack Brickhouse was his godfather.
Right.
So his father and Jack Brickhouse were very, very close. But I do agree with you, Steve. I think the last years he was very, very comfortable. And we used him in a lot of different ways. I think it was, you know, it gave him great dignity and purpose. And he felt definitely a part of our franchise. And, you know, he rewarded us 10 times over. He was great, you know, in front of people. And once in a while, I mean, there would be mistakes. There would be malaprops. He would call Phil Russell, John Marks, or he would make, he was very self-deprecating.
Yep.
It was easy for him to make fun of himself. We would be on the phone. He would say something to me that either didn't make sense or would be wrong. And he'd say, E6 if you're scoring at home.
Yeah.
Dave Ennett, last word for Mr. McDonough.
Well, I just wonder, John, as you look at Chet's interactions with your ambassadors over the years, because I would always see him with the Bobby Hulls and Dennis Vards and the late Stan Mikita. What stands out to you about that?
Well, when he would be doing those banquets, Dave, and let's say that Tony or Bobby were running late, so we would need him to go an extra 3 or 5 minutes, he would extemporaneously go into these great stories about their career. And they were not fabricated. They were just from his memory bank. And it was brilliance. He could turn that on and off. And Dennis Severe and Tony Esposito and the late Stan Mikita and Bobby Hull and recently Chris Chelios, they really enjoyed being interviewed by entertainment and broadcast royalty. They spoke of Chet Kopic in superlatives.
He was, and that's why it's so important that he wrote those books, because he's walking, talking sports history in this town. Really everywhere, but certainly in this town. Yeah. And we have an unwritten page now for those of you who didn't have that sort of encounter. John McDonough, thank you.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
John McDonough, the boss of the Blackhawks.
Well, we were heavy on testosterone. We were heavy on showmanship. As a matter of fact, Steve, I want you to go to YouTube today and type in Chet Kopic roller derby, and you'll see.
How do you know I haven't done that already?
Yeah, you no.
No, I haven't.
You're far too busy.
That's true. That's true. Chet was a guest 500 times and worked with me in the 90s. And there were times I wanted to punch him in the head. And the vast majority of times had laughs with him and had a great time. Texters, these brushes with Chet are great, too. Mm-hmm. 502, I knew Kopic all the way back to when he had Star 7 Sports with Bob Avellini.
Wow.
You remember Star 7 Sports, John?
I do, actually. Mm-hmm. How bizarre is that?
224, I worked for an airline and recognized Chet as he was boarding a flight. I told him my son and I are big fans. He hooked us up with Bulls tickets. It's 10 years later. I write him to thank him again. He wrote back saying he was in tears reading my letter. He'd be going through a tough stretch, and he really needed that.
Wow.
815, I used to intern at a local radio station. Chet was employed there at the time. Even as an intern, he was always beyond kind to me and always smiling. Yeah, you know, that's the thing. The off-air Chet was not that different than the on-air Chet, but the off-air Chet was a very kind guy in almost all circumstances, in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a big, sweet whack job in a fur coat.
that's well put.
Yeah. I love McDonough's story that he had a briefcase full of Diet Cokes.
Yeah, oh, that's a great story. And your reference, too, to the piece in the Daily Herald today by Jim O'Donnell. I didn't realize all. I didn't know all that stuff.
I didn't
about,
either.
His rather rough relationship, I guess, with his dad.
Yeah, not good. And good for Jim O'Donnell, who's written the sports off and on in this town forever.
Mm-hmm.
Glad to see him doing that piece.
Yep.
And he hasn't always been nice to me, but I'm glad to see him doing that.
And he was also close to Chet too.
Yeah, so I did not know that, but obviously
inside baseball stuff there.
847, widely reported that one of Kopic's first TV broadcasts was doing play-by-play for roller derby, as mentioned there. What hasn't been reported is his color guy was a Ford dealer named Burt Wyman.
I remember Burt Wyman.
Oh,
the
Burt
TV
Wyman
Ford man.
It's Burt Wyman, your TV Ford man.
Yeah.
This Ford Galaxy, 75.
And Luke Canellis, restaurateur and sports star, broadcaster extraordinaire. He'll love this. He's about to join us. 847, we're in the company of some old Bears players. We're waiting to get into our restaurant. Chet walked by and said, "You guys shouldn't be waiting." He took this entire mob to the front of the line at the restaurant. There were no open tables. Chet looked over everybody because he was tall. He saw a big group at a table and he knew somebody. He went over to him and said, "Can we join you? Hey, get us some chairs." And everybody joined up at the same table. Chet making it work.
I can see that.
Lou Canellis from Fox joins us now. And, you know, Lou, I think of the coaching tree reference in the NFL. There was a Chet broadcaster tree, wasn't there?
I'll tell you what. Number one, that restaurant must have been Bixby's and Crothers. Remember Bixby's and Crothers over there on Clark and North Avenue?
Yeah.
And I bring that up, and Dave, you'll appreciate this. I bring that up because when I was going to Loyola and growing up listening to Kopic on sports, at that time, I was interning at The Loop, and The Loop and AM 1000 were sister stations. So I would see Danny Mac, who was helping Kopic produce the show along with Cheryl Ray, and anytime Kopic would ask me to help him out with something. So I was interning for Bruce Wolf, but anytime Kopic would ask, he'd maybe need some sound, because I was out at Bears camp, and at that time, they were in their old digs in Lake Forest, and I'd bring it back, and he'd give me the old Bigsby's and Crothers gift certificate. And I would think, you know what, that's great. You know, I'm a struggling college kid at that time, not making any money, because at that time, interns weren't getting paid. So the free chicken wings at Bigsby's and Crothers were great, but just to be on Kopic on sports, that was it, because that's what I grew up listening to.
That'd be cool.
And you're right. You're right. He had he put together like you had Andy Reid put together his, you know, tree of coaches, and Bill Walsh. Kopic had the same at AM 1000 between myself and Brian Hanley and David Kaplan and Dan McNeil. And I mean, the list goes on. It's impressive. Here, I read some of those texts, and I wish some of these people came out and spoke of Chet the way they are today. Over the last 10 years, I wish they had done it before he passed.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
you know, Chet hit a rough stretch.
Yeah, he did.
And it bothered me. There are some people in our business who did turn their back on him. And I tried and put him on the final word on Sunday nights, because I understand the value of still having that platform to remain relevant out there. And I knew that it fed his ego and it made him feel good. But there were some people in our business that didn't.
Yeah, totally.
And they
agree.
Turned their back on him, and it pisses me off.
Yeah, well said. And, you know, there's a memorial service coming up, and I hope those people don't come. Because I remember when Tim Weigel passed, and there were several people who were at that service who would actively disparage Tim, who showed up to say goodbye. You know, I mean, I had differences with Chet. Everybody that knew Chet had differences with him at one point or another. But I liked him. I liked him, and I respected his position and the success he had in this town. And there's no way you can't say he's anything but a legend, because you can't talk sports broadcasting history in this town without Chet Kopic's name being in it. So you got a story for me, Luke Kanellis?
Well, I don't know where to start, man. I'll tell you what. Kopic used to call me the Golden Greek, and my relationship became more family than even work after I had helped him out with Kopic on Sports, because Chet was a regular at the East Bank Club. We all know that. My uncle Nick Cladis, and I know, Dave, you know Nick.
Sure.
Who passed away many years ago. Nick was an original owner of the East Bank Club. So Nick was an alum. He was an All-American at Loyola, and had built a terrific business at One Stop Food and Liquor. And Chet was a huge wrestling fan, obviously. Was the ring announcer for wrestling, WrestleMania 2. So he and Nick had become good friends. And obviously, Nick being my uncle, Chet and I built, it was more than just a work relationship. So he'd call me the Golden Greek. And here's what I'll listen, the conversations that I'd have had, and we'd sit and talk sports, and he'd call me up about the Bears because he was such a huge Bears fan. I'll always remember those, but here's what I'll remember most. When I got the job at Fox as lead sports anchor, and they moved Corey into an anchor position to host Good Morning, Good Day Chicago at Fox, listen, for me, number one, it was a dream job, because I was doing what I dreamed of doing, and that was being the lead sports anchor of a TV station in my hometown of Chicago.
Right.
But it was also a little overwhelming. And Kopic would send me texts, and he'd say, Golden Greek, you're doing a great job. Do this, do that. You're not smiling enough. And he always looked over me, or he would send me an email. And I will always remember that and be appreciative of that for, you know, with Chet. And I miss him. I miss him. Listening to him when we opened this segment, just, man, you don't appreciate someone until you really lose them. I always appreciated Chet, and I always wanted to help him out. And showed up at his book signings when I could with a camera. But he was a good man, and you're right, Steve. He rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, because that's what he did. That's what made him Chet Kopic, yeah, and so good on the radio. I worked with a guy named Bill Simonson that did the same thing. Yeah. But deep down, he had the biggest heart in the world.
Dave Ennett, last word with Lou?
Well, just real quick, just down memory lane, Lou, we all, the three of us, Chet, you and I worked together for a company called Public Interest Affiliates, and you were producing NBA radio, right?
Exactly.
And Chet was your NBA radio host, and I would fill in once in a while for him. But you also produced the Northwestern football games. And the day I did my very first Northwestern broadcast from what was then Dyke Stadium, and you must have given Chet the number to the booth. There were no cell phones. And we get to the end of the first quarter, and the phone rings in the back of the booth. And the engineer picks it up, says, "It's for you." And we have 60-second break. I pick it up. "Dave, it's Kopic." I want to tell you, you're doing a hell of a job selling the cats and Fran Pay. And just really, right? I mean,
exactly.
You remember that?
I mean, oh, that's great. Oh,
and I was always great. And he would still mention that to me 25 years after. Remember that day I called you?
That's tremendous.
Yeah, I did.
The great Chet Kopic. And by the way, Luke Canales, congratulations in your world. I understand you just opened a new restaurant.
Just opened a new restaurant, the Greek restaurant in Lincoln Park called Avli Taverna at 1335 West Brightwood. Thank you for allowing me to get that in.
Sure.
No, it's been terrific. If you guys like Greek food, please come by.
Got to be a Kopic table in there.
I'm coming by.
Got to be an honorary Kopic table in there that you can come in. Bring all your Bears friends.
Absolutely. Well, that's the problem is it's only 51 seats, so it's not like I can sneak people in. So if Kopic pulled what he did with that
that'd be a rough night you told me about,
I'm in trouble.
Well, say hi to your wife, and thanks for coming on.
All right, guys. Thank you.
See Luke Canales from Fox 32. He's got two joints now?
He's got two joints, yes. And you know, he has that baby girl. And yesterday he could not join us because he was at a swim lesson with her.
Sure.
It was just cute.
I get that.
Dad duties.